I was just saying, I hope that none of you guys are as tired as I am. And right when I said that, I saw somebody yawn back there. I already saw John Barkey yawning out here. And the I'll try not to yawn. And I'm not near as funny as Mike either. And I'm not wearing quite as loud of a shirt. But we will give it our best. You guys can turn to Luke chapter 13. While you're turning there, I do want to mention a few things. In all seriousness, really, really grateful for this congregation. Putting these events on are a lot of work, and it requires a lot of sacrifice, a lot of planning, a lot of execution, a lot of people doing work where they don't really get to participate in some of the edifying things. So I just really, really appreciate this congregation and the sacrifices that you guys, men and women, have all made. And it is great to have really good food, too, at these places. That's nice. So thankful for that. I also really enjoy just seeing, like, the age span in this place. Like, there's a bunch of little babies and there's some older people. I would like to say middle-aged people, but I'm past that, towards the tilting, like, very much towards the older people. I'm thankful Steve Doty's still around, Jay Wilson. makes me feel middle-aged still a little more, you know. Love you guys. Appreciate you for being around for other reasons, too. But and then the other thing, I was actually questioning, I got to admit, not that I try to be critical or anything, but I was temporarily questioning Marshall's wisdom. Didn't get a chance to talk to, I was going to tell you this later. I was like, why did he switch from the 5-12 minute intervals? Because I really like those 12 minute, you know, in the afternoon, you're tired and you get different guys up here, 12 minute hits. It's like, okay, a different guy. Okay. And it's easy to stay with. I was like, I don't know if that's a very good idea. I bought some coffee to be able to stay awake. And in the afternoon, my schedule's a little different. I get here, I'm getting out, I'm like right on time. I close the door to my car and spill four-fifths of my coffee. I'm like, well, okay. Walked in here, and those two guys hit it out of the park. I was like on the edge of my seat the whole time. I was like, okay, Marshall's smarter than I give him credit for. And it was really good, but really appreciative, all the messages. But in particular, I just want to say, you young guys, I know I told both of you, but you guys were, they were very valuable, meaningful, thoughtful, important, relevant messages. So really thank both of you guys. And the old guys all have done great too. All right, Luke chapter 13. Let's start here. Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Actually, somebody asked me, the barren fig tree. Basically, is that the real event? There was a real event of a barren fig tree. This is not the real event. This is the parable. Okay, so I'll just say that before we start. Luke chapter 13, verse 1. Now, on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he began telling this parable. A certain man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard. And he came looking for fruit on it and did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, "Behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground?" And he answered and said to him, "Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do really praise your great and glorious name. We're appreciative, Lord Jesus, for the parables that you taught and have left for us. The very many of them seemingly simple and yet very hard-hitting, just principles that make us stop and consider that we, when we have ears to hear, we hear. And we're appreciative for your teachings that we can come to and think things through and be prepared, Lord, to always give you what you are worthy of. I ask that you be with me this evening as I preach your word, that I would preach it in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I do find something, brethren. First of all, I'll say I'm thankful for a few guys that have been hitting on the system of faith. Both Marshall, I would say, and Ben both really brought out this new covenant and the way that we operate. Okay, we do not operate by guilt. We don't operate by shame. We don't operate by law. Thou hast to and thou must not. Okay? That's not the way we operate. But I've noticed many of these parables have a very clear communication that there is a day of reckoning coming. And it is an opportunity through Jesus' teaching, an opportunity for every one of us today. And so I just want you, before we go into this, I just want you to think for a second. If Jesus came back right now, would you be ready? Now, maybe a follow-up question. Would you be content with what you had to offer him? With what you've done with your life? Okay? All of us have different strengths, different abilities, different roles in the body of Christ. But if Jesus came back right now, would we say, Lord, I've given you in accordance with what you've given to me? It's worth us thinking about. And Jesus calls us to think of that here. There's a context of repentance that I want to talk about, the parable itself, the reality that God wants fruit, God does his part. There are some consequences of being unfruitful. And then I want to kind of close with thinking about what to do. You know, the context here is, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Somebody just said that word for me, perish. Perish has, it's just one of those words that, onomatopoeia, I don't know, that's not the right word. What am I trying to say? The connotation, just the way the word sounds, perish, it kind of sounds bad. And it's bad. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. This is the context in which Jesus tells this parable. And so, you know, I think about, what is repentance? We all understand, know this. Metanoia, right? To change your mind, to change your thinking. Andrew was talking about worldview. Guys, in many senses, repentance is, it's easy to go to details with it, and there are certainly details, but much more, I think, I like to think of repentance, it is the right world, it's adapting your worldview to the one that God has, saying, God, you're right, your ways are right, and I'm willing to change my thinking to match yours. This is the rub of Christianity, guys. I know that the conflict usually comes up in true Christianity over whether or not immersion is necessary for forgiveness of sins. But if repentance is there, it's actually really easy. I'm willing to change my mind. I'm willing to do the math right. Okay? Instead of this weird, funky math. What's it say? Right? The problem is repentance. A lot of people don't want to change. They don't want to change their thinking. And so this is one of the requirements that we understand of repentance. And not only is it a change in thinking, but Jesus is very clear that the people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. And when you go back and you look at Jonah, how did the people respond to the preaching? They changed their deeds. They changed what they did. And so I like to say repentance is a change in mind that results in a change in action. Very simply put, guys, there is never any long-term change in behavior without a real change in thinking. Guy just sent me a text today. Sorry, Luke, been off your radar. I am headed to a treatment facility. And he needs to go to the treatment facility. That treatment facility will break some of those physical addictions. But if there's no change in thinking, sometime out getting out of this isn't the first time he's been to something like this. If there's no real change in thinking, the problem's the mind. There will be no long-term change in behavior. The flip side of that is if you actually change the way that you think, it does change what you do. And so in this context, Jesus talks about the barren fig tree, this parable. I guess I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I first heard this from my dad. Guy had it on a business card somewhere. If you continue to think like you've always thought, you'll continue to get what you've always got. And he said, this guy's business card said, is that what you want? It's a fair question. I want us to put it in context of if Jesus came back right now, how's my fig tree? If I'm not happy to turn over to the Lord what I have to him, then I need to make some changes. If otherwise, it's going to be the same thing when he comes. Have I been on this one for a while? If you continue to do what you've always done, you'll continue to lose when you could have won. So you got to change the way you think, and you got to change what we, if you want, what do they say the definition of insanity is? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. You want change, you got to change what you think and hence what you do. All right, the parable itself, some of these parables are a little bit, maybe a little more complicated, like the ones that Jesus tells about the kingdom. Unless you know that the kingdom is the church, you might have a hard time understanding that. Some of these are pretty straightforward. I like what Marshall said. They're out there in a way that you have to process. You have to choose if you're going to process through them. Okay. So the story is pretty straightforward. There's a fig tree that's planted in this man's vineyard. He came looking for fruit on it. Didn't find any. It's not a good sign. He says, 3 years. 3 years I've come out here and I'm looking for fruit on you and I haven't found any. Cut it down. The keeper said, one more year. Just one more year, please. And I'm going to put some fertilizer on it. And then if it doesn't bear fruit, then you can cut it down. All right. God wants fruit. Is this a straightforward enough part of this parable? God wants fruit. Now, is it reasonable that God wants fruit? I'll ask everybody here, if you've ever done this, raise your hand. Have you ever put money into some sort of business venture? Any sort of business venture? Okay, thank a few more popping up. I was like, wow, we don't have very many risky people in this place. Okay, how many of you ever lost money in a business venture? Okay, how many of you somewhere said, I gotta quit pumping money into something where there's no return coming back? Does that make sense? Does it make sense for God to somewhere say, I've invested a lot and there's nothing coming back? It's completely reasonable, isn't it? And we want to talk about, I mean, we can think about a little bit later about the things that God has done. But he's invested a lot, so it's reasonable that he wants fruit. This parable is very straightforward about that. Hebrews chapter 6, very similar terminology. Okay, let's turn over to Hebrews 6. When I say Hebrews 6, does anybody have an immediate phrase or thought that comes to mind?
Poor man.
point of no return, maybe. I don't know if that goes into anybody's mind in Hebrews chapter 6. But when he talks about those, we'll start in verse 4, Hebrews 6, verse 4. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away. It looks like it's possible to fall away, doesn't it? Unless you're doing that weird math. Okay? It's possible to fall away. Then he says, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. Here's the part that I want to get to. For ground that drinks the rain, which often falls upon it, and brings forth vegetation useful to those for whose sake it's also tilled, receives a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it's worthless and close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. Does God want fruit? Does God expect something back on his investment? And it's very reasonable that he does. The parable of the sower, I think somebody has that one. Okay? Four types of soil, and only one of these brings forth fruit with perseverance. God wants fruit. All right. I think we all get that. Let's talk about a few different types of fruit. Genesis chapter 1. Now, I know the way that the human mind works. I have one. And wow, that is a nice clock you got back there, Marshall. You learned something a few years ago, didn't you? I just now saw that thing staring at me. I know the way the human mind works. Gets distracted easily. The ability to deceive yourself, the ability for humans to deceive themselves is off the charts. I have a book on my shelf, Leadership and Self-Deception. Book's okay, the title's amazing. It's like, yeah, okay, that's a good one to remember, right? Because it's easy to deceive yourself. There's also ways, though, that the mind, sometimes we get to topics that we don't want to think about and we just start to shut down. I've noticed some of us, the topic of evangelism comes up and automatically the mind wants to shut down. This topic about fruit, automatically some of us, the mind wants to shut down. I would really appeal to you from this parable that Jesus is saying is, don't shut down. Go listen to Ben's talk and say there's a way that we can carry out what God wants from us. He hasn't raised this bar that we can't. If you're looking at this legalistically, you'll shut down. Okay? I'm not preaching on that. Okay? Ben already did. Okay? But I am saying there's an expectation here. And we need to be open and realize what God asks. Did your dad ever, when you guys were younger, did he ever say, okay, when I get home, I expect that the lawn is going to be mowed? Was it good that you were given the expectation of what was going to be? Hey, I remember one time my brother and cousin mowed a bunch of figure eights in the lawn, and my dad came home to that, and he was did not meet his expectations. Hey, I will not tell the rest of the story. It's good to know the expectations that God has. And so he defines for us some things about fruit. Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind, with seed in them on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. So physical creation is pointing to the spiritual. God says, after your kind. It's about reproduction, isn't it? Okay, go down with me to verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, etc. I've heard people say, you don't have to tell people to evangelize, okay? Because you don't have to tell people to have children. That's wrong. God said, be fruitful and multiply. Genesis chapter 1. He said, go do it. This is the expectation. Okay? It is an expectation spiritually that we would evangelize. All sorts of reasons. I don't have time to preach and all that. I'll just ask one thing. Is our God worthy for other people to know him? He is worthy. That motivates me. If not, I want everything about me to glorify God and to tell other people, you need to know the one true, amazing, living God. He's worthy. That's just in case your brain's shutting down. All right. So fruit according to its kind, reproduction. There's fruits of repentance. Let's go to Luke chapter 3. Quite a few people were actually coming to John to be immersed by him. When you have to look at Matthew chapter 3 to see in particular the ones that John is skeptical of them coming, okay? But we'll just use this in general here. Luke chapter 3, verse 7. He therefore began saying to the multitudes who were going out to be immersed by him, you brood of vipers, who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bring forth fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Also, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Okay, one of the challenges that I'm finding, it's always true, but maybe more so than ever in our culture, is people, how do I say this? I don't have problems meeting people and teaching people and even immersing people. But I try on the front end. Do you know what you're getting into? Don't do this unless you know what you're getting into. Okay? There are fruits of repentance that are expected. Yes, there's a growth process. Yes. And, yep. Okay, one of the things that Jesus wants, one simple request that Jesus has is do this in remembrance of me on the first day of the week, right? Now, it's not about law, but some of these guys at the beginning, I have to tell them, okay, this is what Jesus requests. Yep. Come once, come twice, third time, the alarm clock didn't go off on Sunday, fourth time, got something other. This fruits of repentance, guys, is actually a big deal. John says there's an expectation, even under the immersion that he was doing, there's an expectation I don't know, Andy. End up getting a text with two laughy faces. All right. Anyways. Sometimes, guys, I don't know how this works. Anyways, where was I at? I think I was reading. Andy, I don't know if we can fix this or not, but I'll keep reading. And Luke chapter 3 somewhere. Should we talk first? Yes, he does not like that I have a Mac. Apple's really amazing. Hey, all Apple products play very well with each other. Have you guys noticed that? Anybody else is an Apple person? Okay, Apple things do not play well with others very well at all. Okay, and it's kind of like the church. Okay, the church, we are supposed to get along very well with each other, be separate from the world, but it would be nice if we could reach out a little better sometimes to them. So Luke chapter 3, he's doing his thing. I'll pick it back up in verse 10. The multitudes were questioning him, saying, then what shall we do? And he would answer and say to them, let the man who has two tunics share with him who has none. Let him who has food do likewise. And some tax gatherers also came to be immersed, and they said to him, teacher, what shall we do? He said to them, collect no more than what you've been ordered to. And some soldiers were questioning him, saying, and what about us? What shall we do? And he said to them, do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages. Guys, the long and the short of it is, our life after is supposed to be different than our life was before. It should be noticeably different. I understand it's a process. There's some, it can take time for this on the inside to show up on the outside. But the expectation is there is a complete new way of life. We dead to sin and live to righteousness, right? We died to sin and lived to righteousness. Thank you, man. All right. I like guys that are good at what they do. This kind of stuff I'm not. Fruit of the Spirit. I think we all know that, right? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Did I leave some out? Okay. When I was saying them with you guys, my brain wasn't sure. Okay, people, hey, who doesn't want love in their life? Who doesn't want patience? Who doesn't want joy? Something that's been on my mind lately, no matter what physical circumstances, because sometimes physical circumstances, they're painful. There's conflict. Things aren't going well physically. But no matter the physical circumstances, guys, do we have peace toward God? Did Jesus say, my peace I give, not like the world gives? Is there a peace that surpasses all understanding? Like, the world can't even understand, but none of that stuff matters because you're right with God. Joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Like, this is amazing. No matter what the circumstances are around us, we're joyful because we got the Spirit in us. So fruit of the Spirit, these are things that show up as we're being transformed. I've heard people love to debate about what kind of fruit different passages of Scripture are talking about. Okay, we can agree God wants fruit. People say, well, what God wants is fruit of the Spirit. He's not talking about evangelism. Hey, it's not talking about other Christians coming. I don't know why this is such a hot topic, but I've heard this. Can we just all agree on something? Does God want fruits of repentance? Does God want fruit of the Spirit? Does God want new Christians? Are the three connected? It's hard to evangelize if there's no fruits of repentance in our life. Hey, you got to come meet the Messiah. He gives us great victory. I think most of the time. Is it hard? Let me do this negatively. Can I say that I have this fruit of the Spirit of love in my life, but I don't love that person beat up alongside the road enough spiritually to tell them about Jesus? It doesn't make sense, so I'm not even going to debate about it. I don't really care. God wants fruit. And all three of these are interconnected, and we are to be growing spiritually in repentance. We're to be having fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And if those are happening, part of that is fulfilling the Great Commission. Now, I'm not going to... I know the way some people's minds work, so I'm just going to clarify something. Not all of us are ready to sit down and Bible study with somebody from start to finish. But every single one of us tells, even the quietest, my wife is extremely quiet, in case you didn't know that. Okay. I'm the loud extrovert. She balances me out. She's the very quiet introvert. If there's something exciting in her life, she is going to tell somebody about it. She's one of the quietest people I've ever met, and she's going to tell somebody about something that was exciting in her life. The things that we care about. Every single one of us is capable of telling somebody else about Jesus. Get help. You aren't ready to Bible study with them start to finish? Have somebody help you. Okay? All these are connected. God wants fruit. Okay, God does his part. First of all, this was planted in his vineyard. Guys, we're all of us, this kingdom, this treasure that Mike was talking about, we all got to find it. We've been planted in God's vineyard. And he keeps checking on it. He's coming out. Hey, how's it going out here? He's looking it over. Okay? He watches over his word to perform it. Let's talk real quickly about some things God has done for us. Has he given us redemption in Christ Jesus? Forgiveness of sins? Has released us from our sins by his blood? I like to think about redemption. He changes our story. A story that was just headed for disaster. We ruined it. We ruined our lives, made it worthless. God turns around and he makes it worthwhile and he changes our story where our story is going to end amazing. Read Hebrews chapter 11 if you don't know what I'm talking about. All these people, sometimes I read Hebrews 11, I'm like, that's not quite the way I remember it. Well, of course not. Their sins are gone. Okay, this is awesome what he's done for us. Has he given us his spirit to renew us? Anybody thankful that today you have a clean slate to write on this thing for his glory? Anybody thankful that today he has renewed your subscription on eternal life? Wow, this is awesome what God does for us. Anybody thankful that the Spirit strengthens us in the inner man? The Spirit transforms us? Anybody thankful for the Lord's church, their brothers and sisters to help us and for us to help along the way? Like, guys, God's done his part, okay? He's patient. Come out first year, don't see anything. Second year, don't say anything. Third year, he finally says, cut it down. Oh, and there's a little bit of conversation from the vineyard keeper. It says, oh, wait, just one more year, please. God's patient, isn't he? Not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And can any of us go a few verses later in that passage from 2 Peter and say, we regard the patience of the Lord as salvation. I do want to show hands on this. How many of you are thankful for the Lord's patience in your life? Thank you, Lord. I'm very thankful. I'm not a singer, and I can't help but sing about it. Okay? He's very, very patient. His servants give fertilizer. And God, hey, Paul planted, Apollos watered. God was causing the growth. God causes the growth. His word. Is God's word able to accomplish the purpose for which he sends it? Everything that is needed for growth, guys, is in this thing. God's done his part. So, what about our part? Okay. I actually thought it was going to be a little too complicated to do this the way I wanted to. I was going to have a picture of, what's the guy's name? Ryan Day. That's the guy I was thinking of. I was going to put him up here, and I thought, I'm going to tick off all the Michigan fans. And then I was going to put a picture. Yeah, some of you guys would be like, yeah. Then I was going to put a picture of Jim Harbaugh up here from when he was at Michigan. I was like, I want to tick off all the Ohio State fans. So I figured I'll just tick off everybody. Anybody recognize this guy? Alabama. Okay. Anybody know the guy's name? Nick Saban. Arguably the greatest college football. I don't care about any of that stuff. But arguably maybe the greatest football coach of all time. Okay, one thing I saw one night. Nick Saban, his team. I don't think I saw it. One of my sons sent it to me. But after a game, and Alabama won, but he was not happy. And he's talking to them. It actually was some sort of press conference. And he said, in my family, I grew up, he said, every night at the dinner table, there was a time of reckoning. Did you do what you were supposed to do that day? Guys, one of the reasons Nick Saban was successful as a football coach is there was accountability in their team of what the expectations were. And if you didn't do your job, there was going to be somebody else who came and did it. There is a final day of reckoning coming, and I personally am thankful for parables like this that say, okay, Luke, you get a chance to take a little look ahead of time. How you doing? Where are you at? Do you need to grow? Am I happy? I'll just, myself. Am I Would I be content if today is my day to go that I've given to the Lord, that in accordance with what he has given to me? I'm thankful for the little preview. Every one of us is accountable to God for what we do with our gifts, talents, abilities, and resources. I'm not responsible for anybody else's gifts. Okay? Maybe I have five talents. Okay? Maybe I have one. It doesn't matter. Whatever I have, God does expect a return. Is anybody doing that one? Parable of the talents? Oh, yeah. Anyways. Okay, it's you? Oh, no problem. So we have a responsibility, okay, to return, give a return to God. Each of us got to look and say, what do I have? What's given to me? And then give that to the Lord. If the fig tree stays barren, guess what? It's going to get cut down. Other scriptures say it's going to be burned with fire. In other words, destroyed forever. I don't think any of us got into Christianity to end up being torched forever. So there should be a sense of urgency in this. I know this is a little cheesy. Okay. The main picture I want you to have is the bottom one. Okay? Now you guys understand the picture? Okay. One of these is what? A leech. And what do leeches do? Suck blood. Okay? And one of these is giving blood. Okay? That's the only reason I put this up there. The writer of Proverbs, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, leech has two daughters. Give, give. Okay, brethren, big picture. All of us got to make sure. There are two groups of people in the church. There are givers and there are takers. Now, most of us come to Christ and initially we are taking. It's where we start. It's like, we need. Somewhere there's an expectation that we start to realize that we aren't to be takers, we're to be givers. Now, shockingly, when you give the most, you get the most. Okay? But the mentality has to be a giver. And so I want each of us, take an honest assessment. This is an opportunity that I have. Do I give or do I take? Where am I at currently? Okay. Whoever wants to be mad at me, be mad at me. Oftentimes I find giving happens in the church. I'll give when I get benefit from what I'm giving. Oh, hey, our Sunday school class. We're going to redo this Sunday school classroom, this church nursery, and we're going to make it all pretty. Don't you think it's time? We need it. Why? Because now I have a kid. Okay. I mean, still thankful for you taking on the church nursery, but why haven't we cared about it ever before? That your church youth camp is really awesome. I'm willing to go and give until my kids are gone. Oh, that was me. No. They fired me. I got too old. 54 in youth camp. Don't go together. You understand the principle though, right? Okay. I'm willing to help in the Christian school as long as I have kids there or whatever the case may be. It's like when you're getting benefit, you're not really giving. You're doing something to serve yourself. Excuse me. So I want us to think about this. You know, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I love the way the Apostle Paul talks about the Macedonians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 3 says, for I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much entreaty for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. The Macedonians, Like they had all sorts of affliction and they're begging, we want to help, we want to help. Has anybody ever been knocking the door down saying, we want to give money to this camp? We know this camp costs money. Marshall, where did you say the? Oh, in the back there, okay. We want to help, we want to help, we want to help. But I want you to notice where these guys started. They first gave themselves to the Lord. Oh, and to us as well. It starts with being with giving to God. So I would encourage us, brethren, God's given us so much. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us His Word. There's a lot of fertilizer available. Get the fertilizer, bear fruit. If there's change in thinking we need to make, then we need to go to work to change our thinking of who we are. Another Proverbs, he who is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys. At some point, the barren fig tree's got to go to make room for fig trees that are going to grow. Because otherwise, some of those other fig trees might notice and think this is normal. Okay. So, we want to have fruits of repentance, we want to have fruit of the Spirit, and we want to have fruit of reproduction, sharing God's Word with others. There's a context of repentance. We got to change the way we think. The parable, I think, is pretty straightforward. God wants fruit, and God deserves fruit. He is worthy. God, everything you've done for me, you laid down your life for me. Anything, everything that I have is yours. You deserve this from me, my best. God definitely does his part. There's consequences if we're not fruitful. So what do we do? Well, let's commit to changing our thinking and make sure we're givers and not takers. So, thank you.